Thank you for listening to the Alliance Church podcast. We desire to connect you with God and one another, whether here in Wisconsin or around the world. Let's listen into this week's message.
Well, good morning, Alliance Church. How are you? Yeah, thank you very much. I've been here several times, and it's just been awesome to be here and seeing what God is doing in your church family here. I want to welcome all of you that are right here in Appleton and Hortonville, and those of you that are planning on the Nena campus. It's an amazing thing. We did the same thing in Dayton, Ohio, Little Dayton, Ohio, and we got there. My wife and I have been there 27 years, actually, as pastor there. I followed a guy who actually is still in the church, who was there for 22 years, and there was a guy actually that was before him for 19 years, and he also is in the church, and so we've had three lead pastors at Fairhaven Church, and all three of us are still at the church. Pretty amazing, don't you think, to have all of us together, and we're great friends, and And so I know your pastors here. I mean, I've known Pastor Denny for 25 years. He's an amazing. When he told me that he was thinking about going to Wisconsin, I said, you do know that you're like from Jersey and that you're Italian. Like, I'm not sure it's going to work. And so it's amazing all the years he's had here with you. And then for you as a church to embrace his son, Brian, who's an amazing leader, a great heart that he has with his wife, for you and this community and all the campuses that you guys are going to embark on. It's just absolutely amazing. So thanks for embracing us. My wife, Kathy, will be here for the next service. We have four sons. We've raised them. We're done. They're off the payroll. It's awesome. It's great. It's great to be here with you today. And so I was invited to participate in the series that you're doing right now as you're studying the book of Exodus and taking a look at that. And so if you want to grab a Bible or a device with me, if you're at Hortonville or right here at Appleton, we're going to be in chapter 14 and then in 15, 16, 17. I'm going to tell you the story really quickly because this is episode 5 and we're going to be talking about deliverance. And this is the episode in the book of Exodus that has probably the most amount of drama in it. And if you've been in church for any length of time, you probably have heard this story. You may not know some of the details, but I'm pretty sure that you've heard about the story. It's about when they crossed the Red Sea. Anybody ever heard that story before, right? And even if you haven't been in church for many years, or if this is your very first time, you're probably familiar at some level with that story. And I got great news for you. This, what we're going to look at today, is for you as well. For those of you that are here, that have been here a long time, this episode is for you. But for those of you that are just exploring faith and thinking through what it might look like for you, this is for you as well, as we take a look at it. It is about deliverance. It's about what God wants to do in making, in helping us, in delivering us from the areas and the things of our lives. And it's just such a great story. And so we pick up the story in chapter 14 where the Israelites have left. They have left. Pharaoh said, okay, leave. And so they have left and they find themselves right in front of the Red Sea. And to the right and to the left are enemies. And so they can't go that direction because that's going to create lots of drama and problems for them. And all of a sudden, they notice that behind them, the Egyptians are actually coming after them. And so they're stuck. I mean, they're at an impasse in their life. And it's amazing that the Israelites begin to grumble. And so get used to that, because as we think about this deliverance and what they do in crossing the Red Sea, there's a lot of grumbling that goes on in the story here. And so they grumble. So this is what they say in Exodus chapter 14. Says, was there no graves for us in Egypt? Like, we could have died there. Why did we take the time to leave and pack up and all the, you know, all the struggle and the problems it was for our family and kids? Can you imagine? We could have just died there. I mean, why are we here? And all of a sudden, God tells Moses to raise his hands up. And maybe you know the story. He rose his hands up like this, and the waters of the sea parted. I mean, imagine the scene there. This sea that's there, and it just, the waters just kind of line up. There's huge walls of water, and you can see the bottom of the sea, and the Israelites are going to walk through there as God just parts the sea as Moses raises his hand. Of course, Moses just raises his hand because God tells him to do it. God is the one that parted the waters. And so here's what I want to tell you today, that if you're here and you're interested in kind of participating what God might want to do and say to you today, today God might part some waters in your life. Wouldn't that be awesome if he could do that? I don't know what you're going through in your life. Maybe something in your marriage, something in your job, maybe something with your family. Maybe you're single and you're dealing with a few things in your life. I don't know what that is for you. But I'm pretty sure that many of you, maybe all of you, like myself, have some areas in my life where I would love for God to part the waters. And this story is not just a story of history of what God has done for the people of God called the Israelites. This is a story of deliverance for you and for me. That maybe, just maybe today, in a worship service like this, as we've already worshiped God through song, that we could be thinking about the fact that God may want to part waters for you. How awesome would that be if that happened today in this service? And so, of course, they're fearful, and as they, you know, Moses raises his hand, the waters part, and they start walking through on dry land, it says there in Exodus. And then Moses raises his hand again, and the waters start collapsing, and the Egyptians are just completely covered with water, and they die. And this is what it says in Exodus chapter 14. As God is wanting to speak to them because they see the Egyptians that are there, he says, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see deliverance. You will see deliverance. The Lord will bring to you today the Egyptians you see today, you will never see again." That's a pretty amazing statement if you think about it. You'll never see these Egyptians again. I mean, this is going to be the end, and then this is the best part. It says, "The Lord will fight for you, and you only need to be still." So today, as you're sitting here in Appleton or in Hortonville, as you're sitting here today, you just sit there and be still and just let God work in your life. He already knows what you're dealing with. He already knows what you're experiencing. He knows the emotions that you have. And it might be that today, that because you're willing to acknowledge that he is Lord in your life, the Lord will fight for you, and you only need to sit still, and he might part some waters in your life. I'm asking for that. I mean, in fact, I've been praying about that for you as my wife and I have been anticipating coming here to Wisconsin to be with you and experience this weekend with you. It's amazing. They get to the other side, and Moses sings a song. And that's pretty much what we do, right? When we see God do incredible things, we want to worship him just like we've done. I mean, just as the worship team has led us here this morning, they sing a song. Moses and the entire Israelites, they sing a song. And the song goes something like this in Exodus 15. "I will sing to the Lord, for he is high, highly exalted. Both horse and driver, he has hurled into the sea." In other words, they're gone. The waters came back on top of them. The Egyptians were completely destroyed. Verse 2, "The Lord is my strength and my defense, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him." The Red Sea was parted. God did a miracle. Now, the truth of the matter is, God can do incredible miracles in our life. Like, let me give you an example. 27 years ago, when we moved to Ohio, and we had never been to Ohio, this church in Ohio called us. My wife and I, as you've already heard, we were raised overseas. I was raised in Indonesia. My first language was Indonesian. And so if I screw up a little bit in English, it's because it's my second language. And so my wife grew up in Cambodia. We went to the same boarding school, and we were there leading a church in Malaysia. It was an international church. We had 32 nations represented in that church. It was just absolutely incredible from all over the world. And I get this phone call from a church in Ohio, and they said, "Hey, would you like to come to Ohio and be our pastor?" And I had never been to Ohio. So here's my answer. No. No. And they go, "Well, would you pray about it?" And so I said, "Okay, yeah, I'll do that." And so the pastor, his name is Pete, who's a great friend of mine, the guy who was before me, actually, he said, "I'll call you in a week." I said, "Okay." So he called me in a week, and he said, "Did you pray about it?" And I said, no, I didn't, actually. Have you ever done that, right? You told somebody you're gonna pray for them and you didn't do that. So just confession, I didn't. And he goes, no, honestly, you gotta pray about this. And so I looked on the map and I thought, Ohio, I don't know if you've been to Ohio. In Dayton, Ohio, there's no mountains, there's no water there. And I thought, I am not going to Dayton, Ohio. And he says, well, why don't you pray about it? And so we said, okay, this week we actually will pray about it. And we did. And then he called the third time. He said, so you coming? And I go, well, I tell you what, we're gonna be going to the U.S. We got to visit some family. And so let's go and visit. We'll see the church and so forth. And so we went there and we visited and we just fell in love with the people. Just like here at Alliance Church. I mean, we fell in love with people like yourself who wanted to do great things in the community, who weren't afraid of making change for the sake of their grandkids. By raised hand, come on, help me out here, Alliance Church. How many of you want your grandkids to hear the same message about Jesus that you hear on a weekly basis? Can I see your hands? Look around the room, right? Hortonville, all of you, right? All of us are raising our hands. And so we found a church not unlike you that wanted to reach the next generation to make sure that our kids and grandkids could do so. The problem was when we lived in Malaysia, we didn't own a house. We didn't own anything at all. And we didn't know anything about going back to the U.S. We had not been there in years, decades actually. And so I'll never forget, we went out with a realtor and he said, hey, what kind of house would you like to buy? Like, we're from Malaysia. So I said, a nice one. And he goes, well, you gotta be a little bit more specific. He said, why don't you tell me what your salary is and I can figure that whole thing out. And I go, I have no idea. He said, you don't know what your salary is? And I said, I never asked. I just knew that God wanted me in Ohio. And what I found out was that as we were buying a house, there was a guy in the church in Malaysia who contacted me and said, hey, as you were leaving and heading to Ohio, God spoke to me in a dream. And I don't know if any of this makes sense or not, but he said to me in a dream that I should help you with a house in Ohio. And I'm thinking, really? And so he sent us a check. And this guy was one of the top executives for a company called Dell Computers. Anybody ever hear that before? Yeah, he was in the church in Malaysia, and he sent a check to us and bought our house in Ohio. How many of you know that's a miracle? Am I right? That's a miracle. Now, God hasn't done that very often in my life. I mean, he's done a lot of things, but that's a big miracle. I'm here to tell you that when we look at this story of deliverance, sometimes God does miracles where he parts waters that are like, you just can't believe it. The good news is that many times God parts the waters in everyday circumstances, not just in the miracles. And so I hope that today something happens. In the story, though, as they get across the Red Sea, the waters collapse on the Egyptians. They get killed. They never see the Egyptians again. And 3 days later, they start grumbling. I mean, they just saw this incredible miracle about how God parted the waters and took care of the Egyptians who, you know, who were really pretty rough on them for 400 years. And 3 days later, they're grumbling because they don't have water, or the water was bitter and they didn't want to drink it. And so God said, hey, Moses, pick up a stick and throw it in the water, which he did. And the water was fine and they had water to drink. So you would think that everything would be okay, right? Because God answered that simple prayer. We just need some water, no problem. But God wanted to remind him about something. Because as they went through the rest of their life in this journey that they were on in the wilderness, this is what God said to them. And I believe God wants to say this to you and to me today, because there might be today waters that are parted in your life because God cares just that much for you. Here's what he says. This is God speaking in Exodus chapter 15, says this. If you listen carefully, because they were grumbling and complaining, they didn't have any water. If you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right, and you do what's right in his eyes, and you pay attention to his commands and keep all of his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. God reminds them that, hey, listen, in your grumbling, in your complaining, I hear you. How many of you are glad that God hears your complaining and grumbling? And he doesn't chastise us necessarily for that. He can take it. He can experience it. But he wants us to go beyond that, because that's not where we want to live. We don't want to live in a life of complaining and grumbling. And so he says, look, I'll be your God. Just make sure that you listen and pay attention and walk with me. Well, 45 days later, they're grumbling again in the story, if you read it. They're grumbling because they don't have any food. And so 45 days later, about a month and a half into this journey, they're in the wilderness, they start complaining, and God says, well, I'm going to provide for you, and he provides manna. You've heard of that, right? Manna. And God provides for them, and he provides for them every single day, and he says to them, look, make sure that you go out and get enough manna for today. Don't be greedy. Don't get, you know, enough for tomorrow, because tomorrow will take care of itself. And many people did it anyway. They grabbed what they could, and then they grabbed what they could for tomorrow, and it rotted. And you can read the story for yourself. It's absolutely amazing how it rotted, and they didn't pay attention. Well, more days go by. Now there are several months into this journey, and more days go by, and they're still grumbling because this time they had no water again. And so God says, hey, listen, take your stick and smash it on the rock, and I'll give you water. And that's exactly what happened. God gave them water, and they were grumbling again. Here's the lesson that we can learn in this story. Grumbling reflects a lack of integrity in our lives. Grumbling and complaining reflects a lack of spiritual integrity in our lives. If you miss everything else that I want to say today, don't miss this. Could it be that if we live with integrity, that God will part waters in our lives every day? Could it be that in your life and in my life, that if we live with integrity, God can part waters every day of our lives? That's the kind of life I want to live. The problem, though, is this: what is integrity? Let me give you a definition of integrity, and then I want to give you six aspects about integrity so that you and I can think about this, because I believe that if we live a life of integrity, God will part waters in our lives all the time. He may do miracles, but he'll part waters all the time in our lives. And this story reminds us that God does big things. He parts waters sometimes that you don't even see how God's gonna come through. And sometimes he just does amazing things. But other times, he does it in the mundane, everyday life that we live, if we're willing to just live with spiritual integrity. I think that's what we can learn from this as well in our lives. My son, my oldest son, lives in Sarasota, Florida, and he called me in April of last year, and he said, Dad, I just got fired. I lost my job. I said, son, that's really hard. He said, well, the good news is I got a 4-month severance package. And I said, well, that's great. That'll take you through July. And so I said, son, here's what we need to do. We've known in our lives that God, you know, that God's going to come through. We can trust God. And so we started praying. I would call him all the time, and we'd be praying on the phone that God would give him another job. April went by, no job. May went by, no job. June went by, no job. Meanwhile, I'm calling him saying, son, listen, I know God, you know God, and we trust him. And if we're going to live a life of spiritual integrity, we got to trust him. And so we just got to keep trusting. And I know it's getting shorter and shorter, but you got to keep trusting him. July comes, no job. July 15 comes, no job. July 25 comes, no job. July 31, the last day of the month of July, at the very end of his 4 months of severance, he got a job. Here's the problem. The problem is that the company said, we'll hire you, but you have to start in September. So he's got a month there where, and he's got kids, he's got my grandkids. And so I said to him, I said, look, we'll take the grandkids in. I don't know what you guys are gonna do. The grandkids are gonna be fine. So you're on your own. We'll take the grandkids in, bring them up, you know. Actually, I didn't say that to him. I said, we got to keep praying. I said, God's going to come through. And wouldn't you know, on August 1st, the company sent another check into his account. I mean, it was a wire transfer into his account for another a month of salary. And so I said, son, you got to call them. I mean, I think they made a mistake. I mean, they, you know, it's probably just something that they just, in the computer, somebody just didn't probably think about it. And so they got another month. So I said, here's the right thing to do. You need to call the company and you need to say, well, you promised 4 months. And it's at the end of 4 months, and I got another check. What do you want me to do with it? So that's what he did. He picked up the phone, called the company. And you know what the company said? They said, you know what? That was our bad. Just keep it. So he had another month of salary, and he started on September 1, and he didn't go a day without a salary in his life. And so here's what I said to him. God parted the waters for you, son. And I think if you and I are willing to live with spiritual integrity, that God will part the waters for you as well. See, let me give you a definition of integrity because it might help us today. Here's what integrity is. Integrity is living a life that is consistent with who God calls you to be. Integrity means that you live consistently in a such a way that God is calling you to be. Of course, God, you know, in his word, he tells us who he wants us to be. We can see it all the time. Integrity is living a life that is consistent with who God calls us to be. And the good thing is that if you want to be a person of integrity, if you want to be consistent in the way you live out your life based on how God is calling you, then let me tell you what the Bible tells us about integrity. There are 6 things. You can read them for yourself if you want in Proverbs chapter 11, but let me give them to you because it's pretty amazing. Here's what spiritual integrity will do for you, because I believe that if you and I live with spiritual integrity, it might be that God could part some waters in our lives. 6 quick things that will help us describe and understand what spiritual integrity is, understanding that the definition is that we are consistent living a life with God based on who he calls us to be. You ready for the 6? Let me give them to you. Here's 1. Integrity is doing what truly pleases God. And you know what truly pleases God? Honesty. I mean, you can look at Proverbs chapter 6, and he gives us a list of the things that God hates, and one of the 6 things that God hates, believe it or not, is dishonesty. And, you know, a lot of us could say, yeah, I mean, I get that. It's, you know, it's important, but no. I mean, it's one of the top things that God has in his list in Proverbs chapter 6. Dishonesty is one of the things that God hates. Therefore, one of the things that God loves is honesty. And so integrity, spiritual integrity, is doing what truly pleases God. Here's what Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1 says. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Now, that doesn't make much sense to us in the 21st century. But back in first century Israel, what they would use, they would use a scale. And they would put weights on one side, and that would determine how much salt or flour that you would get. The problem is people would cheat. They would take wood, which is one of the ways they used weights, and they would take metals, and that was another way they would use weights, and they would drill holes in them and put extra weight in there, and they would cheat to tip the scales. Have you ever heard that term, tip the scales? It comes from first century Israel, actually, from Proverbs 11. And so what we learn about integrity is God wants us to be honest. He doesn't want us to tip the scales in our life because honesty is something that God loves. He delights in honesty. In fact, let me say it this way. Honesty, believe it or not, gives us so much energy in life. Think about that for a minute. When you're honest, you have a lot more energy in your life. I was checking into a Delta counter as I was flying, and there's a guy in front of me, and he had a suitcase, and it looked heavy because he was having a hard time putting it on the scale. And you know what I'm talking about when you get up to the counter and you got to put your suitcase up on the scale, and the scale was right there. And of course, there's a second scale right there because there's 2 counters here. And so he puts his suitcase up on the scale, and if you travel, you know what I know, and that you get 50 pounds if you're traveling domestically. Am I right, Alliance? And so you get 50 pounds. And so he puts his suitcase up there, and then he takes his foot and he puts it on the edge there. And with his toe, he lifts up the suitcase to try to lighten the load on the scale. Now, what I loved about this, because I'm watching this whole thing, there's this young lady on the other side. She's a Delta employee, obviously, and this is not her first rodeo. I mean, she was seeing this whole thing, and she was so wise. She took his suitcase and just said, oh, let me check something, and she slid it over to the other scale, and it said 61 pounds. And he goes, oh, is there something wrong with that scale? And she said, oh, nothing's wrong with that scale, and took the suitcase and pulled it right back over after she had seen him put his foot down the ground, 61 pounds. He was trying to cheat in order not to pay the $100 that it costs you if you're overweight. I get up there, and I put my suitcase up there, and I said to the lady, I said, hey, does this scale work? And she goes, yeah, if you don't put your foot on it. See, God is pleased when we do the right thing, honesty. Here's the second thing about integrity. Integrity is the most effective way that you can tame your ego. If you want to know how to tame your pride, it's integrity. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 2 says this, when pride comes in, then comes disgrace, but with the humble is wisdom. Integrity is one of the best ways in order for you and I to tame our ego. Because I think you'd agree with me that pride is the enemy of integrity. And God sees all of that in our life. And God said to the Israelites thousands of years ago, hey, if you follow my commands and you want a life with me, I want to part waters in your life, but you got to live a life of integrity. Because as you live a life of integrity, you'll actually see how God parts waters in your life. And so we learned that integrity is so important. It's so important because it's one of the most effective ways to tame your pride. Don't raise your hand, Hortonville. Or Appleton. Anybody struggle with pride? Yeah, don't raise your hand, because that would be all of us. And so spiritual integrity is really, really important. Here comes number three. Integrity is the best way to enjoy your life. Because when you live a life of integrity, that's the best way for you to find rest in your life. It's the best way for you to be relaxed in your life. It's the best way for you to be trustworthy. Trustworthiness makes life so enjoyable. I mean, this is what Proverbs says in Proverbs 11:3. The integrity of the upright, watch this. The integrity of the upright guides them. Are you getting the mental picture? When you and I live with spiritual integrity, it actually guides us. It actually helps us to enjoy life even better. In college, I made a really stupid mistake. I remember one evening, a bunch of my friends said, hey, why don't we jump one of the security guards? Because he was kind of being a jerk to one of my friends. And I don't know why I gave into it. I mean, I just can't believe it. So we did. 3 o'clock in the morning, we took a pillowcase, we jumped to the security guard, put a pillowcase over his head, and we duct taped him to a pole on the corner of the college campus. And nobody could find him because he didn't, you know, show up at his spaces that he was supposed to, you know, show up in order to show that he was giving security to the campus. He lost his job. He was fired. I couldn't sleep for 2 weeks because I thought to myself, I was one of the stupid ones that jumped this guy. We duct taped him to a pole and he lost his job. So I went to the dean of the college and I said, look, I'm guilty. I'm really, really sorry. I deserve what you're going to give me, and I got in trouble, and it cost me some fines, and there were all kinds of things that took place there. And so, of course, then they said, hey, well, who are the other guys? So I said, well, I'm going to let them come forward. I'm going to just tell you that I was part of that group. And here's what I learned in college. I learned that lying is exhausting. It's exhausting, isn't it? It's incredible. When you live a lie, it's exhausting. It's no wonder that we learn in Proverbs that integrity is one of the best ways to enjoy life. Here's number four. Integrity, as we look at it, is the most valuable character that you'll have in life. It's the most valuable. Here's what Proverbs 11:4 says. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness or integrity, same word, righteousness delivers from death. So integrity is the most valuable character trait that you can have in your life. In Dayton, we have this Art Institute. And I don't know if you guys have any of those anywhere near. I'm sure you probably do, having some big cities around you. And I did a wedding in the Art Institute. It's one of the wedding venues that we have in Dayton. And my wife and I, we love art. And so I still remember being there doing the wedding, and it was in the rotunda that was there, but they had hallways where all these art pieces were there, and I guess they're worth a lot of money. And I was walking through, waiting for the wedding to start. I was walking through the hallways, and I saw all these different pieces of art. And I remember seeing these two kids, little boys, who were about this big, kind of remind me of when my sons were little, and they were running through the museum there, and the security guard stops them and said, "Hey, guys, you can't be running through the museum, because when you run through the museum, you need to know that this artwork here is priceless." And I've never forgotten that. Because you know what I've learned about my life? I've learned that I often will run through the hallways of life and I forget that integrity is priceless. I mean, it's absolutely priceless. I mean, it's one of the most valuable character traits that you and I can have in our life. That's what Proverbs tells us. Here's number five. Integrity is the root with the least regrets. That when you live a life of integrity, you're going to see God part waters in your life. And it's the root with the least regrets that you have in your life. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 5 says, "The righteous of the blameless," righteous being integrity, "of the blameless keeps his way straight, but the wicked falls by his own wickedness." Now, the word "straight" there means least resistance. It's the shortest route. It's the pathway with the least regrets in your life. Integrity is the route that you and I can live that has the least amount of regrets. I have told my sons since they were little tiny boys, and I'm going to tell you today because I remind myself all the time. How many of you agree with me that it is never too late to do the right thing? It's never too late. Today could be your day. If you're here today, you may not have given your life to Jesus Christ. Today could be the day where you just do the right thing because you know that God loves you so much and he did so much for you. For those of you that are walking with him and you're followers of Jesus, you're Christians, you know that in your life, maybe you're heading in a direction as you begin this year because Pastor Brian's been saying it, this could be your best year if it's your spiritually your best year. And one of the ways for you to make this your spiritually best year is for you to live a life of, well, integrity. Because integrity is the root with the least amount of regrets. One more and I'm done. Integrity is the greatest weapon against temptation. Think about that for a minute. I don't know if you face temptations. My guess is you do. But integrity is the weapon against temptation. It's the greatest weapon that we face in our life against temptation. Proverbs 11:6 says, "The righteousness," or integrity, "of the upright delivers them, gives them a way out, helps them to get out, helps them to turn to the side, helps them to understand there's a better way. The righteousness of the upright delivers them, but the treacherous are taken captive by their lust." Now, the word lust there is not just sexual lust, although it's included. It means that you and I have temptations, and temptations of all kinds. And yet when you and I live by integrity, it is the way that we can fight against that. It is the greatest weapon against temptation in your life. And so I want to end with a question. Here's the question. Are you living consistently with God who calls you to be the right kind of person? Are you living consistently with who God calls you to be today? Because what I have learned in my life, and I'm sure many of you probably know this, that if you want the waters in your life to part, it takes living consistently. See, the Israelites grumbled and they grumbled and they grumbled, but you know who lived with integrity? Moses. He was their leader. He lived with incredible integrity, and God used him to bring a bunch of people across dry land as the waters were parted. What would it be like if today God parted some waters in your life because you're willing to live with integrity? Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, I ask that you would be with this church family. I thank you, Lord, for every person here in Appleton and in Hortonville. I pray, God, that you would help us today as we look at our own lives and as we read this story, this episode of deliverance. Father, we thank you that you deliver us by miracles. But I also thank you, God, that you deliver us at times by just simple, everyday things where we need a decision, where we want to be the right person in our marriage, in our jobs, in all the things that we encounter every single day. We thank you that you call us to a life of integrity. And as we live that integrity out, Father, you part waters in our life. I pray, Lord, that you would do that in the lives of those that are here today, those that are online joining us today. And we thank you, Father, that you are a God of deliverance. We see that in Exodus, and we see that today in 2025. May that be true for us. We pray in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen.